Good morning. My name's Ruth, and I'm from just north of Belfast, Northern Ireland. And this is my first time speaking at conference. In the tradition of the Prayer Centre family, I would like to introduce you to the best gift my father ever gave me next to Jesus. But he hasn't arrived yet. I see lots of women with their hands in their air. But the next best gift is my family and my children and my grandchildren. I'm a mother of three and I'm a granny of nine. Can I just say something before I start? And I've heard three times during conference this one statement. And it's kind of grinding at me, so I'm going to say it. I'm a mother, so I'll tell it in a way a mother would tell her son. I've heard three times, he's preaching out of his experience, just out of his experience, and he's not preaching out of the Word of God. I'm standing here because of Dave Robertson. I'm standing here because everything that he has invested in me, he has preached to me out of his experience so that I don't have to experience it. And so to say he's just preaching out of experience, how many of you, if you were having a life-saving operation, would go and have that surgery with a surgeon that had just read a textbook? None of you are laughing, so obviously none of you would. You would go to a surgeon that has not only read the textbook, but has been mentored by a master surgeon. Somebody who has had life experience, who has been through the mill, and who knows the pitfalls as well as the successes. So to say he's just preaching out of experience to me is very negative and very wrong. So as a mother, I'm telling you off. Is that okay? Just sometimes it grinds. So today I'm preaching out of my experience, but I'm also preaching, well, I'm not preaching, I don't preach. I'm going to speak out of the experience of the children of Israel. So that's scripture. But I wrote myself two encouragers. And one is, if this was Gary on Sunday or Wednesday, if it's within your capability, it's often not God. And this definitely isn't in my capability. And the other one is, Pastor Alan, I refuse to feel guilty for my struggles. Because God doesn't see my struggles, he sees my victories. Amen. Like Alan, I'm in Winners Aglow, not Women's Aglow, Winners Aglow. Isn't that right, Alan? So, I live in a country that is at war with itself. And it's been at war with itself for decades. Many, many, many decades. And we're fighting over territory. We're fighting over land. It's supposed to be a religious fight, Catholics against the Protestants. But we're fighting constantly. We can't come to any agreement. Even if it puts our country in jeopardy, we're fighting. Will we ever possess the land? Not in the current political climate. Will we ever win the war? It's been going on for centuries, so I doubt very much. And what a lot of people in Northern Ireland have done is, because of the shooting and the bombing, people have moved to the edge of the city where it's safe. And they've become complacent. And they have backed off from war, and they've backed off from fighting, and they've decided it's easier to live on the edge of the city instead of living inside the city where all the fighting has taken place. And as Christians, I want to encourage you not to do that. We're talking about the year of power, and we're talking about walking into revival. So my confession for today is, I refuse to live on the edge, and I am going in and I'm taking my promised land. I refuse to live on the edge, and I'm going in and I'm taking my promised land. Say it. I refuse to live on the edge, and I'm going in and I'm taking my promised land. Bronk yesterday talked about revival. Revival starts here first with me. Then it goes to my town. Then it goes to my city. Then it goes to my country. And then, in my vision, my promised land, it goes to all of Europe. So I refuse to live on the edge. Did I always think like that? No. I would like, if you could you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. Previous chapters in Deuteronomy are how God is reminding the children of Israel about the blessings of obedience. And he reminds the children of Israel about the promises that he's made to them, about the promises of the promised land. And he gives them hope and he gives them faith. And Gary talked about hope and faith on Sunday. So let's start reading. Well, let's go to verse 1, because we'll do a Gary. He backs up and backs up. Sorry. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. I'm reading out King James, by the way. That ye may live and multiply. That's a promise. You may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore or promised unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. And verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. Doesn't that sound lovely? A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten, thou art full. Then thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, there's a warning, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day. Wasn't the promised land wonderful? Wasn't it good? Today I want to ask you, where is your promised land? Where is it? What has God promised you? To me, my promised land is where I will live and breathe the promises of God, the promises that God has given to me, a place of spiritual fullness where I'll be able to bear abundant spiritual fruit for my Father. The promised land is where God has called us to live and where God wants our hearts to be. For a moment, reflect. Tim talked about our blueprint. What is your blueprint? What is your promised land? Have you achieved it? Are you working towards it? Have you made it? If you've made it, thank God, because most of us are struggling. What covenant has God made with you? What is God's plans for your life? Where is your blueprint? Are you reading it? The last time I was here, I spoke on there's no plan B. And there is no plan B with God. It's always plan A. Keep that blueprint before you. Keep on working towards where God has you scheduled to go. Can you turn back to Numbers 32? And this is really the bit that really got me. If I've got my history right, the children have already been through the wilderness for 40 years. The wilderness was a time of humbling, a time of personally getting to know the Lord in a deeper way, and a time of learning to live by faith. But then we read here in Numbers 32 that some of the children of Israel weren't happy. And I'm like, they've got the promise of all this luxury that they're going to be living in the promised land. Why are they not happy? And it reminded me of back home where we are not happy with what we have. We're not happy with what God has given us now. So Numbers 32. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. They had a lot. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, and there's all these funny names, and these are all lands. I'm not even going to try and pronounce them. I'll let Pastor Jim do that. These are all lands that they have conquered. And these are all beautiful lands, lands that have got good grazing pasture, lands that are fantastic to live in, the posh side of town probably. So he spoke to the congregation saying, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. I have it. I've got it all. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over to Jordan. They didn't want to go to the promised land. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war? That's the other 10 tribes of Israel. And you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them to, well, can't say that, Kadesh Sheba or something, to see the land. And when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And in my Bible I wrote, what? What? Why do they not want to go into the promised land? Why do we not want to go into our promised land? I kept asking and asking, and it was actually bugging me why the children of Israel did not want to go into the promised land. I knew what I read. I knew what I could see. But it just didn't make sense. And I know by faith we are walking into our promised land, and it's easier to accept things that we have here physically now. But by faith, we have hope that we're going to reach the promise that God has for us. We're going to reach the call that God has on our lives. So I'm like, why did these guys not want to go into the promised land? It was bugging me and bugging me, but it was bugging me for a reason. So I texted a guru, a guy that knows everything, and asked him, why did the children of Israel not want to go into the promised land? I knew what his answer was going to be, but you know sometimes you know the answer, but you just need somebody else to tell you. So this was his answer to me. Number one, they did not have any interest in helping others to obtain their promised land. It's a we for and no more mentality. I thought, oh my goodness, is that me? Number two, they were only interested in my best life now. Whoa, my best life now. They were not interested in possessing fully everything that God had for them. And I kept asking myself, is that me? Is that me? Thirdly, and the last one is, they did not want to see any more warfare. They were tired of fighting. And when I read that, I thought, that's me. That is me. I have been through so many battles. I am fed up fighting. I've heard what Pastor Dave has said. I've heard what Gary has said. I've been encouraged and encouraged. But I'm just tired. I've had enough. This was my bad confession. I'm not fighting the devil anymore. I'm not fighting anymore. I've had enough. I am not fighting. Ruth, did you stay like that? Of course I didn't. Or I wouldn't be here. But I was so doggone tired that I just wanted to lie down and live in luxury. What I thought was luxury. I had my house. I had a really good job. I had my family. I was happy. And a lot of us, there's nothing wrong with that. There is absolutely nothing wrong. But the Bible tells us we need to press towards the mark of the high call. We have to press. We have to press in. We have to fight. I had to face the giants in my life to get to my promised land. And I didn't want to do that. I really didn't want to do that. I could hear some of you saying, Ruth, you haven't got a clue what I've been through. You have not got a clue. My life has been one fight, 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 and I'm tired too. And we're all in the same boat. If you attach yourself to the message of the prayer center, believe you me, you're going to fight. And we had girls around last night, and they were talking about distributing the books. And I said, I'm the girl that dragged 3,000 Walk of the Spirit books out into my back garden, and I was going to set fire to them. Because the minute those books came into my life and into my home was under siege. Under siege. And so I dragged them all out to the back garden, and I sat on my back doorstep with a can of gasoline and matches, and I was going to burn 3,000 books. I'm being honest, I'm preaching out of my experience. Oh, don't make me laugh. If you stop me laughing, I've had it. I had what is known as the perfect storm. 2012, 2013, 2014 has been the worst time of my life. But I'm still laughing. Ruth, you don't know what I've been through. I do. I can have a guess. Ruth, you don't know. We've had broken relationships in our family. We've had divorces. We've had children not speaking. I know all about it. But you know what? In my house, they're left at the foot of the cross, and the Lord looks after them. Pastor Dave tells us to keep them in the place called done. So yes, I do know. I do know how much pain broken relationships can bring. Ruth, I've lost a loved one. And that feeling of loss, that pain from that loss and that emptiness, it's just not worth fighting anymore. I know that feeling too. I lost my mother. And I know how much of a pain that loss brought me. But these are all emotional pains. And that's not degrading them, but it's pain. Ruth, I'm telling you, my finances were once so big, and as Gary would say, now money's staying away in great abundance. Believe it or not, I know that too. I went from being a chief executive in a Christian charity to not working at all and living on faith. And I know what living on faith can be. It's living in hope. It's living in hope every day that you've got food on the table. But do I look like somebody that hasn't been fed? I heard that. Ruth, I have disease and pain in my body. Or I have a loved one fighting disease. I know that too. I know to have both disease and pain in my body. But I also know what it's like to be healed by the Lord. And I know what it's like to walk in faith and to walk out my healing. As I said, I'm a member of Winners Aglow, and I'm going to win no matter what the devil sends at me. I'm going to beat it. And if you want an example, look at my best brother over there. I have a loved one also that actually is having chemo this morning. So I know the pain that we all go through. Another pain that came in my perfect storm. And you might say this to me, Ruth. Someone in my church or my pastor had hurt me really bad. He said something to me or he's done something to me. And I can't get over it. I'm so offended. I know that pain. And sometimes that pain is harder to carry than the physical pain that you have. But you know what? They're not excuses for us to live by the side. They're not excuses for us not to walk into our promised land. They're not excuses. I was using them as excuses, but they're not. This perfect storm hit my life in 2012 and continued to hit my life and continued to hit my life, and it just didn't go away. And at the beginning of 2015, God spoke 6 words to me. Ruth, what were they? Green light, green light, green light. What does that mean? At the time of at the beginning of 2015, I hadn't a clue. I kept asking people, if God said to you, green light, green light, green light, what would it mean? And everybody kept going, oh, it could be the traffic lights. Or it could be this. Or it could be that. I would go, and I even stood on a prayer line, and I thought, I need answers. I need to get away from this storm that's in my life. I need answers. And I stood on a prayer line, and what did the pastor say to me? Green light, green light, green light. I'm like, I cannot cope with this. I'm a science brain. I need facts and figures. I need things. Do, 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 do. Green light, green light, green light. What does that mean? I was watching TV, and we don't have Radio Shack windows in Ireland, so I was watching TV. I was watching TV. And if you ever go to the movies with me, I can't watch anything scary. I went to see Jurassic Park with the children, and I sat in the restroom. I cannot watch anything scary. I can't watch anything that has got blood in it. I can't watch anything that is too suspensing. But I was sitting this night, and this American show, we'll say it was American, probably was on TV. And I'm having a cup of tea, and I'm watching this. And the next thing I heard from my TV set was, green light, green light, green light. I put everything down, and I looked at the TV screen. I was amazed. It was like the presence of God came into my room. And what was happening on the TV screen was these American Marines, whatever you want to call them, they were chasing after the enemy. And they were running and running and running. And they had, you know, those sniper rifles with the laser lights? So there was all these green lights and red lights and everything searching for the enemy. And they were running and running and running through this forest, and they were chasing after the enemy. And the guy said, green light, green light, green light, and they all went flying at the enemy. And the next thing, one light locked onto the enemy, and he said, I have the solution. And as he said, I have the solution, he was given the clear to go ahead and shoot the enemy. And he went in and he shot. That's what we have to do. We have the solution. I have the solution. Green light, green light, green light. Go and fight your enemy. Go in there and fight. I have the solution. You have the solution. Do you want me to tell you what the solution is? Praying in tongues for personal edification. Worship. Fasting. Meditation and assimilation of the word. Confession and proclaiming God's word. Waiting upon the Lord for his instructions. And co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. I have the solution. And every single one of you that has been in this conference this week has also got the solution. Every one of you. Gary spoke about confession. Jim spoke on worship. Alan spoke on praying in tongues. Bronk's taken us into revival no matter what. We have the solution. We have it. Ruth, what did you change in your life? First thing I did was I changed my confession. And this was my new confession, if I can find it. This was my new confession. I am my father's daughter, and you'll always hear me say that. I am my father's daughter. My father only sends me to declare victory. The enemy has been defeated, and there will be no retaliation. Jesus and me rejoice in his triumph together. I will enjoy the victory of my promised land. I have defeated the enemy. It's a done deal. The scripture that I use, that I read, is 2 Corinthians 12. But he said to me, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for me. It's sufficient against any danger and enables me to bear any trouble. This is out the Amplified Version. For my strength and my power are made perfect. That means fulfilled and completed. And show themselves most effective in my weakness. My weakness. Don't forget, I'm the one that said I gave up. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and my infirmities, that the strength and the power of Christ may rest. Pitch a tent over me and dwell upon me. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure. Oh, can you say that? Take pleasure in the infirmities, the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, the perplexities and distresses. For when I am weak, my human weakness, then I am truly strong. I'm able and powerful in his divine strength. That's my new confession. No matter what that perfect storm throws at me, I've got my daddy. I've got him. And I am going to enjoy the victory of my promised land. I did one other major thing. And always, when people are talking to me, I always talk to them about having a balanced diet. Fast food doesn't give you any nutrition at all. So I always say to people, you need a balanced diet. If you're going to pray in tongues, worship. If you're going to meditate the word, wait upon the Lord for answers. If you're going to labor, sit and listen to what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you. But one thing I did was, I needed to worship. Because in my confession saying, I can't fight anymore, I was losing the presence of God in my life. So I purposefully set myself a target. And the target was that 5 nights a week, no matter where, I would go and I would sit in a church and I would worship. So I found churches I didn't belong to them. I wasn't a member of them, but I found churches that knew how to worship. And every night of the week, Monday to Friday, I went and I sat on the back row of churches and I worshipped. Ruth, why did you do that? If I can I take you to Judges? And this is the story of Samson in Belfast. We have these two massive big cranes in the shipyard. You all know that the Titanic was made in Belfast. And in the shipyard where the Titanic was made, there's these two massive big cranes that have sat there for 100 years. And everybody that comes to Belfast says, what's them two cranes for? One of the cranes is called Goliath. And the other crane is called Samson. And so we say, oh, that's Samson and Goliath. And people go, huh? Samson and Goliath? They're massive. There's only certain men that can operate these cranes because they're so big. But if you think of the size of the Titanic, they had to be massive to fit the liners that are built in Belfast. So I didn't want to look at Goliath as an example because that sucker lost his head. So I looked at Samson because he was the next big strong man that I could think of. And in Judges 14, and I'll start at verse 1, but I'm only going after one verse. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and he told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore go and get her for me to wife. He was after his promised land. Then his father and mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among my people that thou goest take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother, listen to this, knew not that it was of the Lord. Who ever said that walking in God's will was going to be easy? I hate it when Christians say, oh, you've got a lovely life, you're a Christian. And you're like, yeah, you want to come and live in my house? They knew not that it was of the Lord, so they didn't know that God was in this appointment. And that he saw on occasion against the Philistines, for at this time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And then Samson went down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. So Samson was coming along the road, and this lion was coming up the other way. And the Spirit of the Lord, note that, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as if he rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hands. He went into battle with nothing in his hands. He fought with nothing in his hands. I had made a conscious decision to fight my battle with nothing in my hands. Nothing. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do today, is to go in and fight your battle with nothing in your hands. Our weapons are not carnal. They're not carnal. We can go in and fight our battles. The word fight in the Greek means to endeavor with strenuous zeal, to strive to obtain something, to contend for a prize. To contend. That means fight, 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 green light, green light, green light. The root word that fight comes from is the word agony. So fighting isn't going to be easy. It's agony. Ruth, that works. No, it's not. Because every word that we've been getting from the Lord is we have to contend. We have to pursue. We have to press on. A word of warning. By the way, there was a prophecy in May 2013. I was in the middle of a really serious court case that went on until this year. And I play this over and over and over and over in my car, along with a few other prophecies. And it was May 12th, 2013. Do what you know to do. This is the time. And if I'm right, it was Gary that brought the word. And it says, if there was ever a time in history where God is calling a group, I look around the room, I don't see many mighty. I'm not mighty. I don't see many noble. I don't see the governor here. I don't see the mayor. The world would look on this group and think they wouldn't think real highly, even the religious world. But if there was ever a group of people whom God was calling to a time, bore in. Does that mean fight? Yeah. Bore in. Bore in people with everything that you know, with everything that you've been taught. If there was ever a time to really bear down, do what you know to do. This is the time. And that was a word from the Lord in May 2013. I'm encouraging you today. Ruth, what happens if I don't bear down? What happens if I don't go on and fight? I've searched this. I wanted to know what happened to the children of the tribe of Reuben and the children of the tribe of Gad. And I couldn't find very much evidence in the Word. I went to the history books to find out. And depending whether you're reading Christian books or whether you're reading Jewish history books, there's a conflict. One thing's for sure is that the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad became one of the 10 lost tribes. The Assyrians took over their land. They lost all this wonderful land that they had for their cattle. They lost it. Do you want to lose the promise that God has for you? I'll tell you worse than that. One school of thought says that the tribe of Gad, who the people of Gad were the mighty, valiant warriors in the 12 tribes. But if you go to, I think it's Mark, it's also in Luke, where there was the legion, the man possessed of the devils, the legion. It says that he came to the country of the Gadarenes, the people of Gad, the Gadites. And one school of thought says that is where the tribe of Gad lived. What were they doing? Where did the demons go? They went into the pigs. Now they went from looking after cattle in this beautiful land to looking after pigs. Now to a Jewish man, and I'm a BI girl, I was brought up with British Israelism. You do not eat pork if you're a Jew. You do not do that. So these guys went from having all this luxury and forsook their promised land to end up looking after pigs. I don't want that. I don't want to fall short of the promise that God has for me. I don't want to fall short of the call that I have on my life. I'll put here, don't lose what God has promised for you. Don't choose to live on the edge. Learn from the two tribes that stayed behind. Now, they did go in to fight, but they went back. Don't go back. Press forward towards the mark. Press forward. February the 11th, 2015. Even if you have been dragging your feet, but you start today with me, you are not behind and you are not late. Doesn't that give us all hope? So even if I said, I'm not fighting anymore, there's still time to change your mind. If you're struggling and you're saying, Ruth, I can see all that you've said. I know the things I need to do, but I'm struggling. There's still time. Even if you have been dragging your feet, but you start today with me, you are not behind and you are not late. It might seem like you are behind because you have been delayed, but I am telling you today that you are not behind. Start with me today. You have what you need to obey me, and you can win. I am in your corner. He's fighting with us. We're not on our own. Let's do this. Let's do this. We can win. I will never abandon you, but I will always strengthen you and give you the grace to win. Isn't that wonderful? No matter what battle we are in, we've already won. We have already won. I've got here, fight. Fight for your personal revival. Fight for the revival in your city. Fight for the revival in your nation. Fight to go in and take your promised land. Don't live on the edge. Go in and fight. And girls, if you have to, fight like a girl. There's no harm in it. We can't all be men, but fight, 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 fight. Don't give up. Keep on going. It's time to stop living on the edge and fight to go in and win your promised land. Green light, green light, green light. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. Go in and fight. I have a prophecy that was given maybe 15 years ago in Belfast. And this is one that I play to myself on a regular basis, sometimes nearly every day, to encourage me. And I would like to play it just to encourage you. You need to close your eyes. Now, this is a prophecy that was given to women. So, guys, I'm sorry. But I'm not really, because I know how much it will encourage you. And it's a Belfast accent, so you might find it difficult to understand. They speak actually worse than I do. But if you close your eyes and listen to this prophecy, I really, really hope that it's given you some encouragement.
Wake up, Deborah. Wake up. Wake up. Break out in song. Arise, O Barak. Take captive your captives, O son of Abinoam. Wake up, Deborah. Wake up. Wake up, O daughters of Zion. Wake up. It's time to step forward. It's time to take your place in the army of the Lord. There is no more place to take a back seat. There is no more me. It is time for you to step forward. Wake up, Deborah. The morning is almost here. The night is almost over. It is time to take off the clothes of the nighttime. It's time to take off your hurts. It's time to take off your disappointments. It's time to take off your fears. It's time to take off your thoughts of inadequacy and your low self-image. Because I am your God, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah has sent out a roar in these days to the bride of Christ. And that Lion is roaring and saying, Deborah, it's time to awake. And let the warrior spirit rise up in you again. That you would be as a lioness who would be willing to step out and lay down her life for her cubs. Because there is a battle on for this generation. Because you are